Blog Talk Radio.
If you was born in New York City, let me say you know that. I was born in New York City.
New York. New York.
No doubt.
No doubt.
New York.
No doubt. No doubt.
New York City.
New York, New York.
New York. New York. New York.
No doubt.
No doubt.
New York.
No doubt.
New York City.
New York, New York.
New York.
Hey yo, walk upon a rhyme where the scenery sets. You see stress, sweet's a matter of life and death. No regret, life's a test.
Is up. It is Tuesday night. It is 9 p.m. and that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I'm your host, Anthony Riceballs Donahue, with you. Going to take you up until 11 o'clock, as always, right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, you can hit me on Facebook, Facebook.com/TonyRiceballs. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. And as always, every night, you can pick up your phone. You can dial 646-478-5554 and call the show and talk to me. So once again, that's 646-478-5554. And as always, a big show planned for you tonight right here on TheKnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio will be joined by voice of the New York Knicks, voice of the NBA for the Knicks for MSG, the NBA for ESPN, ABC. Mike Breen will be on the show in a little bit. So it'll be a lot of fun talking to him. And boy, oh boy, has the panic, and if you're watching this Cavs Heat game, the Cavs are up by about 20, and now it's down to about 5 or 6 points. And I got to say, those announcers in Cleveland are riot. Oh, man, they're excited. And there's nothing wrong with that. They are just having fun. They are excited. But I have a feeling the Heat are going to hold on and win this game, but I'm not a betting man, but it just seems that they probably will. So we can talk about that if you'd like. 646-478-5554. As I said, Mike Breen in a little bit, so let's get right to it. Before last night, the Knicks were in the midst, and they still could be. I mean, the odds of them missing the playoffs are so slim. But in the last 11 games, before last night, Knicks are losers of 9 of the last 10, had not beat a team that wasn't from Memphis in about a month, going back to a Monday night versus the Utah Jazz, losers of 6 in a row, 9 of 10, in the midst of an awful collapse. The Knicks basically cannot do anything right. Through this bad losing streak, tons of bad losses. I mean, yeah, you have your loss to the Celtics in Orlando. Those are losses you can probably stomach because those are really good basketball teams. But in this stretch, you've had losses to the Pistons, the Bucks twice, the Cavs twice. Well, the Cavs, you know, the first Cavs loss was a little bit a while ago. You've had a lot of terrible losses in Charlotte. How do you lose in Charlotte? I mean, no disrespect to the Bobcats. Terrible loss. And then you have last night, a game that the Knicks easily could have lost. I'm not going to go crazy. You know, obviously, without Jameer Nelson, without J.J. Redick, I'm not going to go crazy about having Quentin Richardson. Boy, I like Q. I was always cool with Q. But my God, that guy, he don't stop running his yapper. I was by the Orlando bench the whole game. That guy didn't stop. He did not stop running his yapper. But that's fine. It's all in good fun. And the panic mode going into last night's game was ridiculous. And I don't blame Knicks fans. It's not like you had a championship team before the trade, but since the trade, now, is it all Carmelo Anthony's fault? No, it's probably not even his fault. To blame the issues of the Knicks the last 3 weeks on Carmelo Anthony is wrong. You want to blame it on the trade? Okay, I can buy that. But to blame it on Carmelo Anthony is wrong. 646-478-5554. Give me a call. But last night is the reason you got Carmelo Anthony. Last night is the reason you traded 95 guys for Carmelo Anthony. Last night you realized why Carmelo Anthony is a superstar. Now, is he going to get you 39 every game? Is he going to get you 33 points in every half? No, he's not going to do that all the time. But what he did last night is what all superstars in this league do at times in need of a big win. It's what Amari Stoudemire has done early in the season for the Knicks when they needed big wins. Is put the team on your back and bring the team to a victory. And last night, more than ever, as Carmelo Anthony said at the morning shoot-around, it was a, well, I guess, quote, an almost win game. Last night, more than ever, the New York Knicks needed a win. Last night, more than ever, the New York Knicks fans needed hope. And last night, they got that. Now, because of the win, because of Carmelo Anthony's 39 points, we can get into Amari Stoudemire a little bit. He really deferred last night, had about 20 points. I thought he still played a decent ball game. I think Amari's tired. I don't think he's breaking down. I don't know if there's some thoughts from fans and people writing and talking that maybe he's breaking down. I don't think he's breaking down. I think he's tired. I think he's spent. I think this break after the game tomorrow night against the Nets will be a good thing for Amari Stoudemire and the rest of the Knicks. But to think that Amari Stoudemire is breaking down, I don't think that one bit. But last night, you needed that win. The Knicks needed that win last night in the worst possible way. Now, does that cure everything? Does that mean the Knicks are going to win the next eight games, the next seven, the next eight going to the playoffs? Well, I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist. They could. I don't think they will. I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't want to come on the air and just – it's too hard right now to get a read on this team. The quote old team that you saw for 3 months, yeah, you can get a read on them. You knew when they were in a slump. Obviously, we know this Knicks team is in a slump. This team is really hard to get a read on because we haven't seen them enough together. You have a two-star, well, Carmelo Anthony, a superstar, Chauncey Billups, who's still, I think, a star in this league, getting acclimated in this system, with this team. So, are all the Knicks' troubles cured because of last night? No. But could last night have been a start? Yeah, it definitely could be. The playoffs right now for the Knicks are eight games away. So while I know when I start taking calls at 646-478-5554, a lot of fans are going to be excited probably for the win. A lot of fans are going to be excited in a bad way. I'm at a point right now where I'm just going to take this day by day. I'm going to take this game by game. As a fan of the New York Knicks, I'm going to be excited for going to the playoffs. Now, will the playoffs last more than four games? I don't know. I don't know that at all. But I am going to be excited about this. I'm going to take this one game by game. As a fan, I was furious on Friday night. I was furious on Saturday night. And I probably would have been furious last night if they lost. But the thing about this Knicks team, and the role players aren't great, we know it's, quote, not a finished product. We know that. We get that. I still have this hope. I still have this sense of optimism. When I look on the court, and I see Chauncey Billups. I don't know if I've repeated that. I see Carmelo Anthony. I see Amari Stoudemire. And I say to myself, why can't you should be able to throw two guys from the park around the corner on that squad, and you should be able to win a couple games. You should be able to especially beat teams like Detroit. You should be able to beat teams like Milwaukee, like New Jersey tomorrow night, like Charlotte, like Cleveland. You should be able to beat those teams. Gel, no gel, shouldn't be a problem. But for the Knicks, it has been. And they have eight games left to right this ship. They have eight games left to get ready and prepared for the playoffs. And I want to know what you think. Can the Knicks make a run in the playoffs? Did last night sell you? Did last night get you excited? I'm sure you pumped your fist, but when you were leaving the game last night, when you were going to bed, did you actually say to yourself, okay, they're going to turn this around? Or was last night just, you know, winning the game? Law of averages. Eventually you're going to win a game, right? Let's talk to you. We'll talk to Voice of New York Knicks, Mike Breen, in a few minutes right here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go out to you. Let's go out to the phones. 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554. And let's start it off with Ian from Atlanta. Ian, you're on the air. Theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Ian? How are you, man?
I'm all right, man. It's my first time calling. I listen to you all the time, man. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So what do you think about the game last night, man?
I thought it was a good game. I thought it was a good win. It was intense. Obviously, Orlando was missing Nelson, J.J. Redick, Quentin Richardson. But listen, when you're losers of six in a row, you're fighting for your playoff life. I think as a fan, I don't think you should be too picky about a win right now when the playoffs are 8 games away and you have, I mean, a slim chance of a potential epic collapse.
I know, man. I just love the game. You know what I'm saying? I really don't got cable like that, but, you know what I'm saying? I listen to it live on my computer, you know what I'm saying? And that's, like, good for me, you know what I mean?
You listen to the game live on the computer?
Yeah, that's all I do right now.
Okay,
you must have
almost had a heart attack last night.
I'm telling you, man, I'm 42 years old. I'm like, wow, it's got
yeah,
to
you
go.
You don't need that mess in your life, right? You don't need it.
I know. Especially the overtime, and I'm like, why they didn't foul that dude, man? Come on, foul.
Listen,
you know
I know Mike D'Antoni talked about he doesn't believe in fouling, and I'm kind of with him. Because, I don't, man, something about fouling in that situation I don't like. I'm not a basketball coach. I think I know what I'm talking about to a point, because here's why. Let's just say you fouled Jason Richardson, okay? He makes the first shot. Now you're down two. There's still 10 seconds left. He shoots that second free throw. He misses that shot. Dwight Howard gets the rebound, and he kicks it out to Hedo Turkoglu. He hits a three, and now you lose by one. That I think too many funny things can happen if you intentionally foul and give a team an opportunity to score points with the clock stopped. Too many wacky, bizarre things could possibly happen. So I know it's easy to say foul, and I think, you know, 6 out of 7 times out of 10 it would probably work. Something about it I'm just not feeling, about giving a team an opportunity to score with the clock stopped and having the chance for something strange to happen.
Well, that is true, man. I hope them can turn it around, you know what I'm saying, because I'm a Knicks fan for years, you know what I'm saying, from Patrick Ewing and stuff. I'm from Jamaica and stuff like that, and Patrick Ewing was the first dude I was watching playing basketball. I never used to like basketball before, and then a friend of mine turned me on and Patrick Ewing, and from that day until now, I'm always watching the Knicks, you know what I'm saying? But
no,
I hope
definitely.
Can
that's awesome. So have you ever been to New York for a game?
No, actually, I've never been to a basketball game before.
Never been, not even a Hawks game?
No, actually, yeah, I did go to a Hawks game one time. I was like in the back row watching Hawks and Phoenix Sun, and Stoudemire was hurt at the time. So that was my first game and stuff. But I always dream of coming to New York to watch a Knicks game, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully one day it can come true.
Well, yeah. Hopefully, listen. You gotta get it. You only live once. You gotta listen. I should never take what I, you know, meet my life for granted. I've basically been to every Knicks game in the last 10 years, so I've probably missed. I could probably tell you exactly how many home games I've missed the last 10 years, but that would require me to think for more than 6 seconds to think about that. But I basically missed probably 8 or 9 home games the last 10 years, so I've been extremely lucky.
Wow, some guys have all the luck, man, and you're one of those guys, man. You know,
oh, thank you. I appreciate your support.
All right, man. I'm going to always try to give her a call, you know what I'm saying, when I can, you know what I mean?
Thanks so much, Ian. Really appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right, take care. 646-478-5554. Ian from Atlanta. We got to get Ian up for a game. We got to get him for a game. So, you know, that would be definitely a great thing. 646-478-5554 is the number of the Knicks blog. .com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go to Jeremy in L.A. Jeremy, you're on the air, the Knicks Blog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, man. I am related to a member of royalty on your show.
Oh,
I'm
really?
The brother.
There's a few royalty people. I mean, there's a lot of great people that have been a part of the show, people that have helped me out, people that have called the show guests, but there's only a few royalty.
There's probably five or six royalties. Okay, well, I am the older brother of Benji from 202 and 917 area codes.
Benji is a borderline legend / psycho on this show.
I understand, but I will say, before I ask you a question, I want to just give you props, man, because I live in Los Angeles. I'm out of my element, you know, and I work in a different line of. Different line of work that, you know, watching Knick games like the way my brother does isn't like a part of my life in the same way it is for him. But I feel like whether I've been in overseas for business, London, France, different places, I take tremendous comfort in listening to your show, man. I feel a sense of real warmth and community, and you really and when I tell people about it that are not huge basketball fans in the way that my brother is, they all get hooked on the show. So I don't know what you're doing exactly, but it is really effective.
Well, I guess I have that personality that people can get hooked on. I don't know. I just do what I do, you know.
And my brother has, you know, gotten me very invested in the Knicks, you know, over the last couple seasons, and so I'm following things pretty closely. But here's my question.
Sure.
So I listen to your show, and I'm 35 years old, 34 years old. So my senior year in high school was the seventh game of the NBA Finals against the Rockets.
Oh boy, you know, I was in fifth grade. Never forget that night.
All right, yeah, none of us will, but see, I find that there's a lot of nostalgia on your show. A lot of people talking about the good old days when things were great and the Knicks teams.
Yeah, especially when you factor in the last 10 years for the Knicks and Knicks fans, the last 10 years, let's be honest, haven't even been decent. They have been borderline.
No, I mean, I remember my brother and I went to see, I have a little picture that I took of Howard Eisley running the point when we went to a game in like 2003.
Oh, those are some terrible. I mean, those teams played hard, never not had effort, but those are some terrible teams right there.
Okay, I agree, but I agree with you. So because the last 10 years have been so terrible, there's a sense that perhaps the 90s teams were actually in our minds better than they were. And I remember feeling very frustrated. Ewing was disappointing. He wasn't a clutch player. Oakley was one-dimensional, Starks was one-dimensional, and the truth is, they were good. They weren't that good. So I'm saying, I wonder whether, you know, whether there's a little bit of like a revisionist history where we assume that they were actually a better team than they really were, just because things have been so dire.
That's a great question and a great point. Why the 90s Knicks gave us plenty of joy and plenty of awesome moments and memories, that's a great quote, because they gave us a ton of heartbreak. And like I said, when you factor in the last 10 years have been so bad, so abysmal, so depressing, where the 90s Knicks are constantly brought up. And the 90s Knicks were a good team. They got pretty close a few times. But because the last 10 years have been so bad, it's easy to romanticize and think of those 90s teams were fun, great to watch, gave you some awesome, thrilling moments, but also left you heartbroken just about every year.
Well, let's talk about the moments. We all remember Charles Smith. That was the worst.
That was my first encounter into being a Knicks fan, was basically that spring. I kind of didn't set out.
Charles Smith.
Of course.
We remember that. We obviously remember the Ewing finger roll off the back rim when he took six steps and didn't get called for travel, you know. So it wasn't all fun and games, and I just it may be good to remember that when we look at this team now, which it's a little bit of a reality check. I am very grateful to have been turned onto the show by my brother who is really infectious, passionate fan, and I'm happy to talk to you. And he told me he was screening calls for you, so I wanted to call in.
Yeah, no, Ben,
and
you
give you a shout
me
out
tonight.
Okay,
doing a phenomenal job. It's a team effort, and that's the thing about this show. It's been it's almost like, yeah, I know, I don't know 90% of the people that call personally or listen, but and that's also a big help because of social media, Twitter, Facebook, where it's almost become like, since the show started almost 2 years ago, it's almost become like, you know, one big family environment, even when there's some heated discussions and passionate disagreements.
I think you are going to – I don't know. Again, there's something about it where I always want to tune in. I find myself going online going like, fuck – I find myself going online saying, you know, where's the next show? You know, why isn't it on or whatever? And, you know, like all hours of the night working late and that. So congratulations to you. Keep doing it. And let's hope we don't get swept in the first round.
No, definitely not. We definitely don't want to get swept in the first round, that's for sure.
All right, man. See you later, Anthony. See you later.
Thanks for the call. I really appreciate you checking in.
Okay. All right. Bye.
All right. Take care. 646-478-5554. We'll get back to the calls in a little bit. Right now on the line, he's the voice of the New York Knicks for the MSG Network. He's also the voice of the NBA for ESPN and ABC, who was one of my idols and heroes of mine growing up. Please welcome to the show, Mike Breen. Mike, how are you? Thanks for giving me a couple minutes tonight.
Hi, Anthony. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Just chatting some Knicks tonight. How about yourself?
Feeling better after last night, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely, Mike. Boy, oh, boy, did the Knicks need that win last night in the worst way.
That's for sure, Anthony.
So first, Mike, I wanted to ask you, the last 10 years the Knicks obviously haven't been, you know, great to say the least, and you've been doing all the games. This year you could see, you know, you want to say the Knicks are back, you know, they're another two games under 500 now, but for the most part, Mike, it's been a really fun season. For you calling the games from that standpoint, how much more fun has it been for you?
Well, I mean, I was a kid who rooted for the Knicks growing up in Yonkers, so I've been a Knicks fan since I was little. And then when I first started doing the games was the first year Pat Riley came in, so they were compete for a championship every year, so I was spoiled. But the last 10 years or so have been, it's hard as a Knicks fan. You want them to obviously to do well, and you see the ups and downs. And then when this year with Stoudemire signing and the way they started, it was it's a lot more enjoyable as a fan and as a broadcaster. Obviously, the last couple of weeks have been tough as this new group tries to get acclimated with each other. But overall, it's been a really fun year.
Yeah, and before we get to the basketball stuff, I was going to save that for later, but I'll ask you now. Basically, not counting 2004, for the first time in basically 10 years, Mike, hopefully you're going to be calling the Knicks playoff game. Obviously, you have an awesome job. You get excited for any game, let alone playoff game you get excited for. But you're probably going to be a little more juice to do your first Knicks playoff game in a while, huh?
Well, you know, Anthony, I don't just say this. Even during the bad years, even the year when they won 24 games, every night when you get to sit down at center court for the opening tip, I get excited. It's for me, it's a dream come true, the job. And again, since I was a kid, I was a Knicks fan. So every night is fun. Every night, you never know what's going to happen. Obviously, there's been a lot of disappointing nights over the past 10 years. But to think of how crazy the crowd is going to be for a game three of a playoff series is just going to be incredible. And the fans deserve it more than anybody. The fans have been so loyal and so patient. So I'm happy as much for the fans as anybody in the organization.
No, absolutely. It's definitely going to be a good time. Hopefully the Knicks will be coming back tied at one-on-one to push it and say up to nothing. Mike, let's get to the basketball stuff. The Knicks were on a six-game losing streak. Finally get a W last night in Orlando. Didn't have Jameer Nelson, J.J. Redick, and Quentin Richardson. But how important was last night's win, especially Carmelo Anthony calling last night basically a must-win game and backing up his words?
Well, you know, obviously, just to break the snide and get a little confidence is enormous. But to me, the best part of the night was how they came out and defended from the opening tip. The biggest problem in the past stretch when they lost 9 of 10 was that they just weren't, I felt they weren't competing hard enough defensively. And, you know, when you're getting used to new teammates, you're going to have some ups and downs and some struggles offensively. But the one thing you can do is you can play hard on defense. You can play with a spirit and an energy more than your opponent, at least put you in a chance to win. And I felt that was lacking over the last stretch. So, you know, the best thing about the performance last night, obviously, was the win, but right behind it was how well they defended. And it should show them, Anthony, that they have the potential to be a good, solid defensive team. They're not going to be the best defensive team in the league, but they can be a good, solid defensive team. They just have to put more effort into it, and they did last night.
You mentioned putting more effort into it, Mike. Where does that start? Does that start from the coach? Does that start from the two star players, Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony? Where does that start, Mike?
You're right, exactly what you said. Everybody takes responsibility. The coach has to hold them accountable. If they're not going to play hard defensively, if they're not going to put in the effort, then he's got to sit them down. And the star players are the ones. If you're a player on the team and the star is not putting out, not busting his butt, well, then it's, if you're another player, you say, why am I going to break my horns trying to help out on defense if the star player's not? So I think you said it exactly right. The coach and the two main players, Stoudemire and Anthony, have to lead the way. They've got to show the other guys that, all right, we're putting out defensively, because if they do, if they play with reckless abandon, then other guys are going to follow.
The Knicks are obviously, Mike, going to be a 6 or a 7 team, most likely probably going to play the Celtics or the Heat in the first round, maybe even the Bulls. Do you think the Knicks are one of those bottom teams that one of those top teams maybe does not want to see because of their potential and their possible firepower that they're going to be bringing in to a 7-game series in the first round?
Yes, I do think so, Anthony. And even with the struggles, even with this, you know, that six-game losing streak and 9 out of 10, I don't think anybody wants to face him in the first round, because you have two guys that can get absolutely red hot. You've got a point guard, although Chauncey Billups has really struggled recently. You know, he's still a guy that's been through all the playoff wars. So it's definitely not a matchup that you necessarily want to have in the first round. Now, the Knicks have a long ways to go over the last 8 games. They really got to try and figure out a way to get comfortable on offense and keep up the defensive intensity they had last night. But whenever you have all-star players who are capable of just erupting, you can always be a dangerous team.
Talking to Mike Breen right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. If the Knicks were to really compete in the first round, we know defense would be their biggest problem. What other things would the Knicks have to improve on to go on a run in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, there's only so much that they're going to be able to do in terms of rebounding and size, because they just don't have the roster for it. But I think that's enormous. They've got to have 5 guys ready to help out in the rebounding department, because you get crushed on the boards and it's really difficult to win. And, you know, especially defensive rebounding, it's the last part of playing good defense, but you need 5 guys to do it. The other thing I think they need to do, Anthony, I think they need to pick up their pace again. You know, Chauncey Billups and Carmelo Anthony right now, they're not in the flow of that up-tempo game that was so successful early in the season with the other players who went to Denver. And I think they've got to force themselves to push it a little bit more and just pick up the pace, because I think that's when they have their advantages when they run. And that's when Amari Stoudemire excels, because they've got to get Stoudemire back into his dominating self. He's been a little off. I think part of it is, you know, he might be a little tired, but half the NBA is tired right now. I think it's more of he's having a tough time with this slower down offense that they've been playing lately, and I'd like to see them pick up the pace.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next, Mike. What do you think is wrong with Amari? But I agree with you. I think that physically, he could be a little tired, but there was a couple times last night, Mike, where I saw his burst. The offense is so much different now, where you have Chauncey kind of walking the basketball up the court, isolation with Carmelo, where he didn't have that with the old team with, you know, Raymond Felton, Gallo, and Wilson. So, yeah, I think Amari's just still getting adjusted to this new offense. I don't think he's as broken down as people think.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, Anthony. He's just not comfortable. You can see he's not comfortable on the floor. He's not getting into the spots. The spacing isn't as good. You know, Mike D'Antoni's system, they like to have the wings really spread out deep in the corner. Carmelo Anthony doesn't like that spot. He likes more on the wing and on the elbow, where he can post up and get some isolations. And that's where the coach has to figure it out. He's got to find a way to balance his up-tempo system, but at the same time taking advantage of Carmelo Anthony's strengths. I mean, Anthony's as good an isolation player as there is in the league, so you can't just say, all right, we're not going to do that. We're just going to play up-tempo. But he's got to find the balance, and the key to finding the balance is let Stoudemire find his rhythm again.
What about finding the balance with, the 7 through 10 players, which seem to change almost every night? I mean, you'll have one night where maybe Bill Walker's playing, maybe he doesn't dress the next game. How important is it for Mike D'Antoni to find those guys and figure out who he's going to use in those spots going into the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, Anthony, he's not happy about that. He doesn't like the fact that he's had to do that. He would much prefer to keep a set lineup. But quite honestly, nobody has distinguished themselves from the other guys. I mean, you know, Jared Jeffries will have a couple of stretches here that are good. Turiaf will be good here. Sheldon Williams will do a job. Sean Williams, Roger Mason, Billy Walker. They've all had their moments, but they've also had their struggles. And, you know, he's just trying to find the right spark, the right formula. Now, you could argue that, you know what, maybe he should just stick with one and go with it. But when you're, you know, 7, 8, 9, and 10 guys, again, are not performing consistently, you want to try those other guys. And, you know, you can say maybe you disagree with that way of going it, but I don't think any of them have really distinguished themselves above the other to emphatically say, okay, you're in the rotation, you're out of the rotation.
Oh, Mike, like you said, you agree with me. I 100% agree on that. It looks like it's going to be the Heat or the Celtics. Is there a team now? I say pick your poison. Both those teams are pretty awesome teams, although the Celtics haven't been the same without Perkins. Is there a team that the Knicks match up better between those two that would have a better opportunity to maybe steal a first round, or, you know, at least compete in the first round?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Miami is not a big team, so I think, you know, the big teams have given the Knicks problems. But, you know, when you have Wade and LeBron James on the same team, it's a matchup nightmare. you know, I think Boston right now is really struggling. The whole key is health. I mean, if Rajon Rondo is not healthy and he doesn't appear to be 100% right now, well, then that's the team you want to play. If Rondo's healthy, I don't know if you want to play the team that has the most playoff experience. Maybe you'd rather play against a Miami. But I think your first phrase is the right one. Pick your poison, whether it's Chicago, Boston, or Miami. They're all going to be tough series. But if the Knicks play at that high energy level on the defensive end and figure out over the next couple of weeks the best way to attack it offensively, I think they could give them all a series. They're certainly not going to be favored, and it would be a big upset if they won, but they're capable of really making these teams battle in a playoff series.
Mike, a lot of fans on Twitter and Facebook and my show have tried to, and you, this is the team you were around all the time. Is there any comparisons to this Knicks team to the 1999 Knicks team?
You know what? There are comparisons in that the 99 team had a bunch of new faces as well, and they had a bunch of players that the coach, Jeff Van Gundy at the time, wasn't comfortable with yet. For example, Marcus Camby. And he wanted to play the guys that were there before, but then he realized, you know, Camby had some special talents. They were a team that went through some real ups and downs. I mean, every time you thought all of a sudden they were going to get it and start playing well, then they lost a couple of bad games in a row. They could never seem to put a good stretch together, and they were fighting for a playoff spot right down to the very end. So there are some similarities. That team, certainly in 99, was a much better defensive team. This team has the potential to be a better offensive team, but they just haven't meshed yet. You talk about the shortage of games to try and acclimate. It's so hard when you make a big trade in the middle of the season, especially when you have main guys as part of the trade. And that team in 99, too, they didn't have a whole season. It was a lockout year. They only had 50 games. So there are some similarities. I know Knicks fans would like to have the number one similarity be they get it to the finals, but I think that might be a little too much to ask for this club.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely know what you mean. Did you ever think covering those teams back then that Jeff Van Gundy would be next to you in a broadcast booth?
No, I didn't. and, you know, it just goes to show you, Anthony. I mean, Jeff was a fantastic coach. But if Allen Houston doesn't hit that shot and they lose to Miami in the first round, you know, by all the indications back then, he would have been fired at the end of the year. Instead, the shot goes through the hoop. They upset the Miami Heat. Then all of a sudden, they go on a roll and win the next couple of rounds. And Jeff then has a terrific, successful career. It just goes to show you the fine line between winning and losing, how one bounce can really change fortunes of a player, of a coach, of a franchise. And, you know, if that shot didn't go in, that didn't mean Jeff wasn't any less of a coach. He was a terrific coach. But sometimes the shots go in and sometimes they don't. It just gives you an idea of how, again, that fine line is between winning and losing and how it can change people's fortunes.
Mike, it's funny you bring that up because you've seen it at the games all the time. The actor Leon was on my show last week, and I said, Leon, did you ever think about if Allen Houston didn't make that shot? And he said, no, why? I go, if he didn't make that shot, I said, Jeff Van Gundy's probably fired. I think they might even have hired Phil Jackson. Maybe Sprewell or Houston is traded, and who knows what would have happened in the next 10 years. But like you just said, that one bounce made a hell of a run in the finals, and Jeff for the few more great years of the Knicks. So you're right, that one bounce was a star of so much history.
Yeah, that's why you can't overreact to one win or one loss, and base all your judgment on just the result of one particular game that, you know, might be a close game for whatever reason. So it's a tough business. It shows you also as well how tough it is as a coach, the pressure that you face, and how just the funny bounce of a ball can make the difference between your staying on and having a great career or getting fired. So it's not as much as it looks glamorous, and they certainly get paid a lot of money. Being an NBA coach has a lot of pressure.
Mike, can we get you on Twitter? Any chance that happening?
Twitter? No way, Anthony. I'm old-fashioned.
No way. Okay. Well, I think you'd be great. I think you, Jeff, and Mark would actually all be great Twitterers.
They'd probably be better. They'd be better than me. Once get away from the games, I'm pretty boring.
Well, Mike, I know you've got a busy night again tomorrow with the Nets in town. I want to thank you for giving me a few minutes tonight. I really, really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Anthony. You're a great fan, and I'll see you at the Garden.
You got it, Mike. Take care. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye now.
That was voice of the New York Knicks and voice of the NBA, Mike Breen, right here on thenicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Mike, nice enough to give me a few minutes tonight right here on the show. Looks like the Cavs are going to beat the Heat. How about that? If the Cavs were to play like this in the first game back in December, I mean, I'm sure it's a zoo at the queue right now, but it would have been pandemonium. I mean, if you go back to December or December 2nd, the Cavs were actually playing somewhat decent. So that would have been crazy. I'm sure it's a zoo there now, but it would have been crazy. So if you're just tuning in now, make sure to go back to thenicksblog.com to check my interview with Mike Breen. So let's go back to the phone, 646-478-5554. Nick fans, dial me up. What are you thinking? Like Mike said, you can't get too excited or too mad over one win or one loss, but last night was definitely an important win. I can't say last night was a win that I got excited about. I got excited as a fan, you know, pumping my fist saying, yeah, we needed that basket, we needed that block, but am I excited that they're going to turn this around? I don't know, but they're going to be in the playoffs, and Jeff Van Gundy said this. When you go into a playoff series, a game one, and you have the three best players on the court on your team, or two of the three best players on the court on your team, and you can steal a game one or two on the road, bringing the series tied at one back to the Garden for a game three, that place, I mean, any NBA arena would be a zoo, but that place will be a zoo times 1,000. 646-478-5554. Let's go back to the calls, and let's go to Jeff from Minnesota. Jeff, you're on the air, thenicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. What's up, Jeff? Jeff, you there? All right, Jeff, give a call back when you get a chance.
Yep.
6464. Oh, you are there. Jeff, I just hung up on you, so call back and I'll put you right through. I promise, I swear. 646-478-5554. Let's go to Eli from Chicago. Eli, you're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. What's up, Eli?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Off night tonight. I just want to make a couple points. Number one.
Well, it's off night for the Knicks, but an on night for me. So, I mean, it's really
not
an off night.
Exactly.
It's an off night for the basketball team, not for their most popular radio host, though.
There you go.
Come on.
Grew up in Jersey. I've lived in Chicago for 10 years, and I've been hoping all year we were on a collision course with the Bulls in the first round just to shut everyone up in Chicago. I can't even tell you how brutal it is living here, being a Knicks fan.
Are Bulls fans excited about this year's playoff? Let me tell you what, and I'm going to cut you off, I'll keep it in line. As a fan, if the Bulls get back to forget a championship, if the Bulls get back to like a conference finals before the Knicks do, that's just wrong. That is just so wrong by the basketball gods.
That's Eddie Curry karma.
Eddie Curry, maybe.
But in any event, what I really want to talk about is two things, Amare and D'Antoni. As far as Amare goes, I've been noticing about the last 10 games, he just doesn't look like the same player. And I'll give you, he's on, you know, with a whole new team.
I was sitting close to the court last night, and there was a few times where he drove to the basket, and his explosiveness looked the same. I think it's a totally different style now. You have Chauncey walking the ball up the court. You have isos for Melo. You're not running as many pick and rolls. So he's being a great teammate about it. He's been a great teammate about it, letting his new teammates get acclimated. So, yeah, is he probably tired? Yeah, I'm sure he is. It's a long season. Like Mike Breen said, who isn't tired right now? But I don't think he's broken down or anything like that. Could he use some rest? Absolutely.
I don't think it's the knees. But he just does not look like, you know, the same burst. Maybe it's just the energy level's not there in terms of getting excited and just the way he's playing. It's a little worrisome, I got to be honest, just the last 10, 15 games or so. But as far as D'Antoni goes, I've been a huge D'Antoni supporter, and I think he's a great coach. But as far as this team goes, and speaking, you know, with Melo and the isos and just the way he is, he may not be the right coach for this team to take them to the next step in the coming season.
But maybe he'll I'm not, I don't love D'Antoni, but I don't hate the guy either. Listen, every Knicks fan, I'll get into that in a second. I don't know if he's, could he adapt? you're asking, and one thing to give Mike some credit, or like give Mike a little leeway here, you want this guy, it's a whole new team, to adapt on the fly right now. I'm not saying he shouldn't, I'm just saying that we should give him a little bit of leeway here. Now, if they get swept, I'm not saying the guy deserves to be fired, but I'm not calling for his head or anything like that right now.
I think
what he needs to do is, he needs to either adapt offensively, defensively, bring in a defensive assistant, but I think he needs to learn to, and he needs to adapt. When Pat Riley was with the Lakers, he was running gun up and down Showtime basketball, and he got to the 90s Knicks, and he had Anthony Mason, Xavier McDaniel, John Starks, Charles Oakley, Greg Anthony, Hubert Davis. Those guys weren't flying up down the court, throw behind-the-back passes and alley-oops. He made them a tough defensive team. So that's something that, listen, is Mike D'Antoni ever going to turn to Pat Riley? Probably not. But Mike D'Antoni needs to adapt, and he needs to.
That's a great point. But on the other side, I think he's a great coach. I think he's a great offensive coach. But if you look at the teams, what makes him a great offensive coach is basically his shtick. Get it up the court quick, shoot it quick, beginning of the shot clock. And that's what he did with Phoenix, and that's what made him successful, and that's what he was doing with the Knicks. But now with a different team, I'm just saying he is a good coach, and I'm not calling for his head. But I think, you know, that both D'Antoni – as well as the Knicks have to kind of look themselves in the mirror and say, is this the right fit? Because really, all their eggs right now are in, you know, Carmelo and Amare. And everything
else around.
Let me
ask you this. Who's the right fit?
Well, I mean, the easy answer, everyone's saying, and I don't see this ever happening, is someone like Van Gundy.
I would say it's not happening. I'm not calling for anybody's job, but who wouldn't want Jeff Van Gundy back?
Right.
But the reason every fan wants Jeff Van Gundy back is the same reason when Benji's brother from L.A. called and said, that was the last time the Knicks won, was with Jeff Van Gundy. So
I don't want Van Gundy back.
They think Jeff Van Gundy. I love Jeff Van Gundy. I think he's a great coach. But the reason everybody says Jeff Van Gundy is because the last time you had success was with Jeff Van Gundy. The reason so many fans romanticize and talk about the 90s so much, yeah, they were fun years, because that was the last time you won.
Right.
So it's not that the 90s Knicks was that great. It's not that Jeff Van Gundy was that great. But that was the last time you got it. So if it's the last time you got it, that's all you got to remember.
Right, and I think finally...
And not saying it wasn't good, but it wasn't great. It was good. It was good.
Finally,
it wasn't great.
I want to make one more point.
It wasn't ecstasy. It was very good, though.
I just want to make one more point for you. Jared Jeffries is a complete disaster. I was
pro-Jared Jeffries move,
but defensively, he's not good enough defensively to say, that's his thing. And offensively, he is so bad that he is putting doubles on Melo, Amari, and whoever, and it's ruining us on offense on both sides of the court.
Yeah, Jared. I mean, Jared. That's all I'm going to say. Jared. Oh, Jared. Well,
anyway.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. That's great. But,
I know what Jared. I know. Jared is... sometimes a liability, to say the least, on the offensive end. If he's not going to give you anything on defense, you might as well not even have him on the court.
I just can't believe he is so bad on offense after all these years.
Yeah, it's crazy because he was Mr. Bad. No, I agree with you, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, it is crazy. Listen, I don't expect Jared Jeffries to be a guy that's going to come in and drop buckets and score 30, but he was Mr. Basketball in Indiana. Actually beat out Zach Randolph. Zebo! And how the hell does the guy can't catch a ball, can't make a jump shot, can't make a layup? It's absolutely incredible. Now, he's always been like that with the Knicks, so what he's doing now, I'm not surprised. But, you know, I know you're playing against better players now than you were in college, better players in college than you were when you were in high school, but you can't make a wide-open jump shot? You can't catch the ball? I don't know. I don't know about that. 646-478-5554 is the number of the Knicks blog. com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go to Nicole from New Jersey. Nicole, you're on the air at KnicksBlog.com. Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
Good. My question is, there's a lot of talk on Twitter and on the blogs and everything about the team chemistry and how nobody really seems to be kind of supporting each other the last couple games. What do you think about that?
I think, guys are supporting each other. I've been around the team and stuff. I think that guys don't know each other that well. There's no camaraderie yet. You know, the old team quote that got traded to Denver and Minnesota those guys had training camp together. Those guys took many plane rides together, went to dinners together, went to Yankee games together. You have to realize, not only did the old team, now listen, the old team wasn't winning the championship either, Nicole, but you have to realize the old team, not only did they have training camp together, they practiced every day over the summer. They were going to Yankee games. They were going to Mets. They were going to Red Bull games. They were hanging out. There was a real brotherhood and camaraderie with the old team, with Wilson and Gallo and Mozgov and Randolph and Raymond Felton and everybody. There was some real, real brotherhood and camaraderie. It's not like there's not support with this team. It's like, they just don't know it. You're like, you know, what's up? I'm Sheldon. Oh, what's up? I'm Amari. Oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm Corey Brewer. Oh, I'm not on the team anymore. Yeah, so there's not, the guys don't really know each other. So it's not like it's a personal thing that guys don't like each other. Guys don't really know each other. Hi, I'm Andy. I played at Syracuse. Oh, no, nobody cares. No, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it's like.
Do you think that's something that could affect them down the run in the playoffs if they're not really getting that with each other yet?
I think, at the end of the day, it comes down to basketball. I mean, you could love each other and sing Kumbaya and still get swept. It comes down to playing basketball. Does it help if you have good camaraderie and all that stuff? Yeah, of course. But at the end of the day, it comes down to basketball. I mean, there's a lot of these teams that are great. Yeah, these guys all hang out. You could take a team that's great in top five in the East. I don't know. I don't know any of these teams personally. I'm saying, like, you take the Bulls, for example. I don't know. Use that as an example. You don't know if those guys all hang out. That's something that's overrated. I think guys, they might. I'm just saying, I think if they start winning, let's say they win 2-3 in a row going to the playoffs, it would definitely help build camaraderie and boost morale from a personal standpoint with the guys.
Sounds good.
It sounds good. I don't know, I hope it works. I'm just, you know, I try to give you the best answer I could.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. And tell Gianna we said thanks for the win.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Good night.
All right. Take care. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in. 646-478-5554. And Nicole brings up the whole Gianna thing. If you don't know, I obviously all the fans know, my sister's battling brain cancer. She's up in Boston. She wears Knicks stuff every day, yada, all that stuff. Sometimes I just hate talking about it. But anyway, got a trend on Twitter. We're going to use it the rest of the season. Why not? You know, we had my birthday winning streak back in November and December. Let's start this up. So, you know, the Twitter trend, the hash mark, all in one word. So any Knick tweets you want on game days, just do the hash mark and win for Gianna, WinForGianna, for those of you on Twitter, win for Gianna. We'll do it on game day, popular trend, so let's have some fun with it, okay? And she's thrilled about it. So she's up in Boston doing her treatment, and hopefully she'll be back in New York City in 4 weeks, and I'm up there on the weekends. And, yeah, and people were making fun of me for wearing my Knicks hat over the weekend. It's funny, I was up in Boston 3 weeks ago, and they were like, we don't want to play you guys in the playoffs. And now they're like, yeah, shut up. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls. Let's go to Jeff in Minnesota. Jeff, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
What's going on, Anthony?
What up, Jeff?
What up? Well, first of all, good show. Mike Green, you're really blowing up with these guests, man. You got to go follow the guests on the show.
In the words of Carmelo Anthony, I do this. No, I'm just
kidding.
I'm just playing. Let's play.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get too excited over the win. You know, it was a must win, like Carmelo said. And I think the things that you take out of it, and I think one of the most important things, was D'Antoni actually getting fired up and getting these guys ready to play.
Mike D'Antoni's a passionate guy. I think sometimes he's definitely a passionate guy.
Yeah, I mean, but he's been a little bit too passive with this team, and he's been a little bit too much of a player's coach. And somebody had to really get in there and get in their faces and, let them know that it's actually time to play because, no matter what they think, they don't have this thing sewed up just yet. And, God forbid they would ever, collapse and not make the playoffs. I mean, it could be a collapse that they would never recover
from. Well, that's
not –
I mean, look at this. You look at the standings, and that's almost impossible.
Almost impossible, but, it's still not out of the realm of possibility.
Hey, the Mets – no one thought the Mets – when the Mets were losing all those games in 2007, you never really thought they'd actually collapse. Even I remember,
yeah.
I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm like, there's no way. And then it got to, like, Thursday. I forgot who they were playing. And then they were playing the Marlins that last weekend of the season, and I'm like, there's no way. All of a sudden, Sunday, the last day of the season, wow, the Mets really collapsed, and they're not making the playoffs. Wow.
And I think the important thing is, it's not just making the playoffs. And, it'd be nice to make it out of the first round. It's not out of the realm of possibility that this team can make a little bit of a run in the playoffs. But, you know, we have to leave this year with a good taste in our mouth. You know, it's got to be – you got to leave the fans, you know, really, you know, wanting more for next year. And
yeah, that's a great point you bring up, Jeff. And I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, the Knicks losing the first round, losing six games, even maybe even five, but like a hard-fought series, fans are going to be wanting more. Now, as a fan, listen, as Knicks fans – We won 23 games in a season, and you're fired up for the next year because we're all sad and pathetic, including myself, so no one starts getting fired up at me. But the Knicks were just, like, back in the playoffs, get swept in the first round, no energy, no nothing. That is going to be a rough summer for Knicks fans, rough, especially when you factor in the heightened ticket prices, which are affecting myself
and so many others. I feel you, brother. I feel for you on that. But, you know, I mean, you see Carmelo go out there. You see him play defense like, you know, like he did last night. And you know he has the ability, you know, to go out there. And he doesn't have to be a lockdown defender, but he could be, you know, a decent defender out there. And the team has, you know, has ability. Are they configured right? Are they formatted right as a team? Probably not. We don't have the bigs that we need. We don't have that point guard that gets up and down the court like we need. But the pieces are there. There's talent on this team. They shouldn't come out and fall down 16-4 against the Bucks. And, you know what really got me about Friday night's game was, you know, come fourth quarter and they're still, you know, they're not able to run their offense. And they didn't practice on Thursday. Can you tell me how the team has had only, you know, about three practices together and they have one off day together?
I agree with you. The only thing is that they've played 39 games. I think there's, what, 31 days in March, and the Knicks have actually had 40 games in March. So I think that's why the Knicks have played basically every day in March. And I'm not defending it. Could you have a film session, a walkthrough? Yeah, but that's why the Knicks have been taking. They've been playing a lot of games in March. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that's why. That's why.
And it really shows. I mean, it shows that Amari is really worn down right now. He hasn't been the same player for the last two or three weeks.
Need, why they definitely need the practice time. Having them take a few days off isn't the worst thing in the world either.
And I think what D'Antoni's doing with Sheldon Williams out there, I think he should get him some more minutes. You know, he did play pretty well against the White.
Yeah,
Sheldon made that crucial defensive play. He's not a great player, but he's a big body.
Absolutely. He made that crucial big defensive play towards the end of the game.
Tomorrow's game is a must-win. They have to win against the Nets.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They have to go out there, and they have to get two wins in a row, and they got to get this little losing streak behind them and just move forward. And
I'm
if
with
they
you,
do
Jeff,
that,
and,
you know, they, I think they'll be all right. You know, I think we will have a decent first round series, whether it be against the Bulls, the Celtics, or
who do you want to play? I know who I want to play. And it's crazy, but maybe I don't want to say it. I'll probably get killed. I want to play the Celtics. Yeah.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. You know, Pierce is gonna go out there and he's gonna go nuts.
Maybe I'm just saying that because I want to go to game
one. That's the one thing I do not want to see. You know, what killed me about that game was, and I don't know if you were part of it, but when everyone was getting on him, I was like, here he goes. That's all we needed to get him amped up, and he just came out in that fourth quarter, you know, and it just seemed like the Celtics weren't playing well.
Listen, there's no, even the Bulls, none of those three teams are like, oh, yeah, we're going to beat them. Let's go. So whoever we get. Miami lost tonight. So remember, Boston has the tiebreaker. So I don't know. I understand. I think I'm just being the Celtics, being kind of selfish, since I'm in Boston every weekend the next 5 weeks. So I'd probably go to game one. But I don't know. You can't, like Mike said, pick your poison.
Well, if there's something about getting that, you know, that Heat and Nick rivalry started again in the playoffs, and, you know, they don't have that championship pedigree just yet.
But here's the thing. The Knicks and Celtics actually hate each other. I don't think there's any real hatred with the Knicks and Heat. The Knicks and Celtics, they don't like each other.
Yeah, but the Celtics have been there before. You know, I want to go there against a team that hasn't been there yet, you know, that doesn't know exactly what it takes to win in the playoffs.
This is why I'm wrong. I'm calling myself out with it. If you play the Heat, and you keep a game close, I think you have a very good chance to win, because we've seen the Heat in close games and close situations freeze up. If you play the Celtics and it's a close game, they'll beat you. You have to blow them out to beat them. the Heat, you want to keep that close because you can steal a game at the end of the Heat. The Celtics, man, they execute. They don't know how to win. So I'm wrong in saying, but listen, whatever we get, and when the playoffs
exactly.
Come, that Saturday or Sunday afternoon or Saturday or Sunday evening, that game one, I think as fans, we're all going to be fired up and ready to go.
Exactly. I mean, we just like I said, I just want, you know, a good series. I want to end the season off on the right note and, you know, get ready for that, you know, 2012 season. So let's see what
exactly.
happens. Yeah, and I'm not gonna count out a run here. You never know. I mean, you're just talking about 99. No one thought we'd make a run there. So you never know. But I know you got the call. So I'll let you go, Anthony.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Always appreciate checking in, brother.
All right, man.
All right, take care. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. If you're just tuning in, had Mike Breen, voice of the Knicks, voice of the NBA on the show, so make sure you go to theKnicksBlog.com later tonight or tomorrow. Check that interview. Oh, man, the Cavs. Cavs beat the Heat. How about that work? So, yeah. So, let's get back to the call. 646-478-5554. One thing real quick. All the Knicks, and I'm not saying I've said this, I've been clear about this. I'm not saying I love Mike D'Antoni. I'm not saying Mike D'Antoni's great. I'm not saying Mike D'Antoni's the answer like Allen Iverson. I'm not saying that. But here's what I'm saying. Every Knicks fan, because you obviously can't fire the team, you can't fire other people. Every Knicks fan wanted Don Chaney fired. How'd that work out? Every Knicks fan wanted Lenny Wilkins fired. How'd that work out? Every Knicks fan wanted Larry Brown fired. How'd that work out? Every Knicks fan, obviously including myself on this one, wanted Isaiah fired. How's that really yet to work out? Well, I guess it's worked out from the GM standpoint. The Knicks got some good players. So, it's not always all the coaches' fault. I'm going to say I love D'Antoni. I'm not saying it's all the coaches' fault either. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls. Let's go to Mike from Staten Island. Mike, you're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, man? I like your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Mike Breen because Mike Breen was on the radio doing I Miss in the Morning before he.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day, and he was like doing actually both. So we get some after the, a lot of times he'd come back to the studio and have some stories about something that happened at the game. So it was a lot of fun with Mike Breen.
You used to work at WFAN?
He was moonlighting. Yeah, he was doing both for a little while.
You used to work at WFAN?
Huh?
You used to work at WFAN?
No, I didn't work at WFAN. I used to listen to them all the time.
Okay.
It was him and Bernard McGurk and Imus and a whole bunch of people, and they were syndicated on 150 stations.
I got you.
And then after he left, they got Sid Rosenberg and John Minko was still there. John Minko's still there, but Sid Rosenberg sits in there. But the guy who directly replaced him was Sid Rosenberg after Mike Breen left. They actually had a contest between Sid Rosenberg right after Mike left. They had a whole big shadoo, you know, going away party and all this and stuff, And then what happened is they had a contest between John Minko and Sid Rosenberg to get the job, and they had a whole bunch of celebrity judges. it was really crazy, but everybody picked Sid over John Minko, and you know Sid Rosenberg stayed with them for two or three years after Mike Breen left. But I always like listening to Mike and Walt Frazier, and Mike is on ESPN radio now. So, and his commercials that he does with these players, I don't know if you've seen these commercials that he does with ESPN.
I wish I asked him about one of those. Commercials are the best. They're amazing.
Yeah, those commercials are crazy. And you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, they've got like 10 different commercials, you know, 10 different episode commercials, you know. This is the era of the episode commercial, so... You never know when you see these things with him and Van Gundy.
No, they're funny. They're definitely
Amari
funny.
Amari and even there's one with Gallinari.
No, the Gallo's the hot sauce one with Carlos Boozer.
Yeah. But yeah, I want to talk about
one.
The Knicks right quick.
Sure.
I definitely think that I listened to your thing. I think they have a chance. I think the Knicks have a chance.
A chance to do what?
I think a chance to go a couple of rounds, if not go to the finals this year. I mean,
finals.
They got possibly.
Hold up,
sir.
Hold up, hold up, like Nate Dogg. Hold up. You said finals. Wow. Hold up. I want to hear you get loud right now. Ready? I want you to start singing.
Let me start singing.
We are the New York Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
All right, timeout. For a guy who called my show and said the Knicks are going to the finals, you need some more energy to sing this song. I'm going to play it one more time, and I want to hear some energy, all right? Oh, wait, hold up. Wait for the beat. Ready? Let's go.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
Go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go.
All right, not bad. Can you freestyle?
I'm not a freestyler, man. I'm not going to front. I'm not a freestyler.
What if I gave you a beat? Come on, go.
Say what? To the beat, to the beat. Anthony MSG. NYK to the NCKS.
All right, not bad. You did okay.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. No, but
well,
I definitely want
to
say.
Your phone call just inspired me. The Knicks are going to the finals, man. Yeah, I'm inspired.
It's a possibility. You know why? Let me explain why. I just don't want to sound like one of these fans. I don't want to just sound like one of these fans that's hot for the Knicks, and then it doesn't make any sense. Remember, first of all, we have Chauncey Billups, who's been through all the wars already.
Agreed.
So he knows what needs to be
done. You're selling me.
And on the secondary level, you have Amari and Carmelo. They're young players, but they've been through the wars too. So you put those three heads together with D'Antoni and the other role players they have. If they play to their potential, what they're supposed to do, then they can go to the finals.
Listen,
and
if the Knicks go to the finals, you I take it you follow me on Twitter, obviously, right?
I just started following you maybe a week ago. I added you. That's
okay,
how I got the number.
That's fine.
I just
okay,
picked
you
up
said,
on
you said
Twitter,
Anthony,
and I picked you up your number.
Right, you said Anthony MSG, and that's my Twitter handle. If the Knicks go to the finals, you'll be co-hosting one show with me.
That's what's up.
I would definitely appreciate that.
You've got my number. Did my number come up a call on the caller ID? You could call me.
Well,
at any time.
Just if the Knicks go to the finals, just tweet me. Trust me, I'll remember. If the Knicks go to the finals, tweet me that you're that guy, and
when I get off the phone, I'll tweet you, and then you'll see who I am.
Sounds good.
When I tweet you, but
you'll co-host the show with me if the Knicks go to the finals.
I appreciate that. I would love to do that. I definitely would love
no
to do
problem.
That because I'm a diehard Knicks fan.
I love to have you as my co-host
years.
one night. Now, I don't like to let people talk a lot, so be a one-night thing. Be a one-night stand. That's it. But
How many hours?
Be a two-hour show. You got a co-host.
Oh, it's a two-hour show. Okay. And you're on every night?
Weeknights at 9 p.m. the Knicks don't play.
Okay, no doubt.
I'll be on tonight and Thursday this week. I'll be on tonight. So if the Knicks go to the finals, there's going to be one night that you're going to co-host with me.
That would be great. It's a possibility. And
I went to one of
the games in 99. I was at the Spree Row when Spree Row scored 32 points. And in the only game they won in the finals in 99, I was
game
at that
three.
Game.
Game 3.
Game 3. Exactly. I was up there, and it was great. I saw Ricky Henderson and Queen Latifah at that game.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I actually saw them. I went to get something to eat, and I saw Queen Latifah, and then I saw Ricky Henderson walk by during halftime. Everybody
how's
just rushes to the concessions. Huh?
How's the Queen doing?
Oh, the Queen is great. I mean,
she's
a super actress and everything. I mean,
she's good.
She's doing a lot of movies. Queen Latifah does crazy movies. So she's always working on something.
She is. Well, listen, man, I appreciate your call. We'll be in touch. And if the Knicks go to the finals, there'll be one night you're going to co-host with me, okay?
So does my scenario make sense as far as the players
of
the Knicks have?
I mean, yeah. I mean, anybody. You sold me a little bit. You got me to believe in. You got me to believe. I'm with you.
I put them up head to head against anybody. Against anybody in the Eastern Conference. Let's just start there because they got to go through the Eastern Conference before they even go out west. But you put them head to head against Boston, they have a chance. You put them up against Miami, they have a chance. And you put them up against Chicago, they have a chance. Because some of the things that the Bulls are strong in, or the Knicks are strong in, the Bulls definitely have some weaknesses.
Right now, I'm with you. Listen, man, I'm with you. I appreciate the call. I appreciate your passion. And hit me up, and if the Knicks go to the finals, you'll be close in one show with me. All right, man?
No doubt, Anthony. Have a great one, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call, sir.
You too. Thank you. Really, really appreciate it. That's the homie Mike from Staten Island, man. Like I said, if the Knicks go to the finals, Mike can gladly co-host the show with me for one night. So 646-478-5554. Back to the calls. Let's go to T from the Bronx. T. You're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, TheKnicksBlog Radio.
Tony, it's your boy.
What up,
T? How you doing, brother? How's everything going?
I'm chilling, man. I'm hanging out.
Okay, you know, two things before I start on the Knicks. You know, for those of you that got HBO out there, check out How to Make an America Season 2 is coming this summer. You know what I'm saying? Check that out. Second of all, that's where I met your boy Benji, who's behind the board tonight, the producer for the show.
Benji's behind the board tonight. Johnny McDonald.
Yeah.
I got a full staff tonight. Let me talk about my staff real quick on my show right tonight. I got
as long as you don't have
Johnny McDonald
behind the boards.
No, I got Johnny McDonald.
Greg.
I got Johnny McDonald, who put Mike Breen on the air. I had
Greg.
Chris Alvano making the post for TheKnicksBlog.com. I got
Greg.
Benji Klein. And I got the Selena Fields, sister of Landry Fields, doing promotion. I got
right.
a whole staff on the show.
All right, great. You got an all-star squad. You know, shout out to my boy Benji. You know what I'm saying? He's the reason why I called the show. You know, I met him on How to Make an American. He put me onto the show. So, you know, shout out to my boy Benji. He took me to the game a couple weeks ago.
I guess Benji might be an executive promoter of the show, too.
Oh, of course. You got to put Benji up there, you know what I'm saying? He's the number one Knicks fan in the world. You know, I mean, people might argue with me with that, but you know, Benji's crazy. You know,
he's definitely. I don't think there's any number one Knicks fan. That's tough to say. Craziest Knicks fan, I would say Benji.
Yeah, of course. Especially if he's still wearing a Gallo jersey and it's like, you know, 28 degrees. You definitely got to give it to Benji. But I'm gonna touch on a couple of things with the Knicks. You know, I'm happy, you know, with that win that we got last night. You know, Melo played like he's possessed. I mean, I never saw Melo play like that.
On the defensive end as well.
On the defensive end, he was playing possessed, like he had a demon inside.
Absolutely was.
And I was shocked. If he could bring that.
Well,
listen, here's the big T.
In the morning of a ball game, and you say, tonight's a must win, you better come out possessed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if Melo could play like that every night, because you know what's funny? Because I was just looking at the way Kobe Bryant played the other night when he played against the Phoenix Suns. And the eye, you know, just the eye, the tiger that he just had and determination he had. I'm like, damn, you know, when can I get that from Melo? You get what I'm saying? You know, Kobe just grinding his teeth, like he's just hungry. Like he just ready to snap you off. And I saw that in Melo last night.
Last night was a different Carmelo. It was.
And if Melo brings that every night, it will be a domino effect with all the other players. You get what I'm saying? I mean, everybody will feed off him. And what they really need to do is make I know Stoudemire got Melo hair. I know he was here before Melo. But you know what? They really need to focus the offense around Melo. You know, they don't need to do what they did in Miami. Oh, we don't know if it's Wade's team. We don't know if it's LeBron's team. We don't know if it's Chris Bosh. This is Melo's team. Let's just put
I think Amari's still the leader, though.
Amari Stoudemire, but this is Melo's team. Let's just establish that from jump. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want the same mix of this going on in Miami, because that's what the mix of, because they don't know if it's LeBron's team, they don't know if it's Melo. I mean, they don't know if it's Dwayne Wade's team. You know what? This is Melo's team. You know what I'm saying? If he wants the ball in the fourth quarter, you know what? You'll give it to him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the difference right there, because Melo is a game changer. And if people, you know, people seem to forget, when they add up the field goal percentages between the clutch performers in the past 5 years, Melo was over Kobe.
No, Melo's been great. Melo's a closer.
So you know what? They need to use him to his advantage. I mean, I still don't want D'Antoni here. I want him gone, you know.
But who are you bringing in, though? You said Patrick Ewing, right?
I've been telling you. Either Patrick Ewing or Mike Brown. I don't want Mark Jackson, because Mark Jackson is a very smart basketball player. He has a very high IQ, but he hasn't coached not one single basketball game. I don't even know if he coached a game in Rucker Park. You get what I'm saying? So let's just keep Mark Jackson out of the equation. You get what I'm saying? I either want Patrick Ewing as my head coach, and if we can't get Patrick Ewing, I want Mike Brown as the head coach. You know what? But, you know, that's...
Well, here's the thing. Mike Brown is a great defensive coach, and I think the Knicks are going to be able to score no matter who the coach is. When you have Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony, you're going to be able to score points with your eyes shut. And defense, you got to play defense, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if he was to bring Mike Brown in there, I mean, the offense will flow real good. But I just think on the defensive end, the intensity is going to be up, because that's what he's going to preach. You get what I'm saying? Then he'll have a better.
That's what I'm saying. I agree. But here's the thing, though, T. I don't want to start talking about bringing in a new coach right now until the season's over. When the Knicks, you know, get swept in the first round, win the first round, lose. Whenever the season is officially over, we'll have a State of the Union show and we'll talk about the possibility of a new coach. But as of now, I just don't want to even talk about it. I'm excited about going to the playoffs as a fan, and we'll get into it after the season's over. As far as a new coach, should there be a new coach? Two, who should that coach be?
Okay, fine. So let's talk about the playoffs.
Okay.
As far as the playoffs is concerned, you know, I think we have a good chance. Like I was telling you before, Boston is definitely on the downhill. They're not getting Shad back. You get what I'm saying?
I was listening. I listened to my Billy Daughtry the other night on ESPN Radio. He was talking about how he saw Shaq riding up. He thinks Shaq is probably healthy, actually. They're just saving him for the playoffs.
I mean, I really think that. I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. But, you know, how many games did he play this year? I bet you Shaq can play over 30 games.
He's missed 40, I think they were saying today. He's missed 40.
He's missed 40. He missed half of the season.
Yeah.
He's just going to gel when it comes playoff time?
Yeah. No, that's not.
No. That's not gonna happen. This is the NBA. This is the NBA. This is not gonna that's not gonna happen. They're done. Boston,
if you had
is
to
done.
Choose though, who would you rather play, Boston or Miami?
I don't want to get a close game
with Boston. You get a close game with Miami, we've seen them freeze under pressure. Boston, you keep it in a close game with them, they find ways to win. They find ways to beat you.
Yeah, I mean, the key to beating Miami is mental. You beat Miami mentally,
right, exactly.
You got it. You know what I'm saying? Physically, you know, you mentally and physically, you're not going to beat Boston. You could take Miami out the game mentally, because they have so much pressure on them that they're not going to be able to perform at a great level. You get what I'm saying? So as far as, you know, who I would pick, it's kind of hard, because, you know, I know Boston, you know, they're on the downhill right now. They're missing Kendrick Perkins, and, you know, I don't see that, you know, that eye of the tiger that they once had, you know, but I would choose Miami. You get what I'm saying? I really would choose Miami. I mean, I really want Chicago. Out of all of them, I really want Chicago. I really think that we could beat Chicago. They only have one player, and that's Derrick Rose. I mean, I think, honestly, we match up better with Chicago, because simply you got to think about it. With Billups, okay, you just break it down to, you know, the start, you know, the lineups. You have Billups and Rose. Yeah, Rose could get the best of him. But, you know, you could call that even on any day. Shooting guard, we got an advantage. Small forward, we have an advantage. Power forward, we have an advantage. Center, it could go up in the air. We have Trevioff and
Joakim Noah is much better than Trevioff or Williams.
I mean, yeah, he is, but you know, he can be tamed. Our bench is probably about even, but we probably a little bit better than Chicago Bulls bench. I really think that we can beat Chicago in about 6 games, maybe 5. You know, people might think I'm crazy for saying stuff like that, but I really think that we match up better with Chicago because they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be able to do anything with Melo and Amari. And I don't think
here's
anybody.
The thing, though, the Bulls are a great defensive team, and Tom Thibodeau is a great defensive coach, and they'd figure out some schemes, though. I'm not saying it would work, but they'd have some schemes.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, the key to beating the Bulls, we got our 3-point shooting has to be on point. If Tony Douglas come through and his shoot lights out, fine, we got it. If Sean Williams come through and shoot lights out, fine, we got it. Roger Mason, and Billy Walker down, anybody else, we could beat the Bulls. We definitely could beat the Bulls, and that'll probably save Mike D'Antoni's job if we get out the first round. Because I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't do anything in the first round, he's gone. He's gone.
Yeah, I mean, if they were to lose the first round of like 6 or 7 games, I think he'd be back.
Well, it really depends.
I think even if the Knicks get swept in the first round, there's a decent chance Mike D'Antoni's back. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Come on, Tone. I know that's not coming out your mouth. Come on, we get swept.
I'm not saying I agree with this.
If we get swept, you talking about losing 2 games? You talking about losing 4 games? Especially losing 2 games at the Garden, he's gonna come back? No, D'Antoni's out of here. I'm telling you, D'Antoni's out of here. Dolan's not having that because you know Dolan is the one that made this deal.
Of course.
It wasn't Walsh. It wasn't D'Antoni because D'Antoni didn't want to give up half of these players. So did Walsh. You get what
Especially
I'm saying?
Gallo.
So,
Yeah, of course,
Gallo. You know, but one thing Mike D'Antoni needs to do, he needs to address. Did you see the way that Danilo Gallinari's playing right now? Me and my wife was watching the Nuggets the other night, and she can't stand Gallo. But, you know, she said, wow, he's playing good. Why couldn't he do that on Knicks? And I was trying to explain to him. I'm like, listen, you know what? It's the coach. Gallo was taken to the hole. You saw how he crossed LeBron? He put the ball on the floor. He wasn't shooting 3-pointers. Even the commentators even said that. Like, yo, Gallinari doesn't even shoot 3-pointers like that anymore. He's taken to the hole. So you know what?
When he was with the Knicks, he was getting a lot of games.
He was shooting. He was shooting a lot of jumpers and 3-pointers.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but you know what? Look, you got to play these guys to their, you know what I'm saying, to their strengths, not their weaknesses. This is why Gallo's doing better. And it's proved to show you that Chandler was still a good player, even without D'Antoni's system. You know, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I mean, Dan Denver, they're doing their thing. You know, we got Melo, but I think that we could, you know, we can definitely try to go far. I mean,
yeah, listen, here's the thing, see, you got 8 games left in the regular season. This guy's taking 1 game at a time.
Yeah, I think we could go on a little winning streak, right? We could definitely go on a winning streak, get our confidence built up, and then just storm in the playoffs. I mean, we just got to build on that momentum. You know, we can't slack off. I mean, for the, you know, next 8 games left that we have, I mean, we have like an easy schedule. We could beat the Nets. We could beat Cleveland. Who else we have? Don't we have the Raptors? We have the Raptors too, right?
Yeah, the Raptors. Yep.
Yeah, we have the Raptors. I mean, then we play Chicago again and we play Boston again, right?
In Chicago, the last game of the year is in Boston. Yeah, we play Chicago twice, actually. Play the Bulls twice.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure about that? We only played them once, one at the United Center.
I could be wrong. I've been wrong. I've been wrong before.
No, we only supposed to play them 3 times, right?
You can play them 4. I'm checking right now. Hold up. Yeah, the schedule. No, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. We just play the Bulls one more time.
Yeah. I mean, we just got to make a...
The last 8 games are the Nets tomorrow night.
Cavs
on Sunday.
When?
The Raptors on Tuesday at home.
When?
At Philadelphia.
When?
In New Jersey, Friday the 8th.
When?
In Indiana, Sunday
when?
The 10th.
At 6.
Home against the Bulls.
And then Boston, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take 6-2. I'll bet on that.
If the Knicks finish the season off, if the Knicks finish the season off 6-2, that's what the 1990 team finished their last 8 games 6-2.
Yes, I'll bet on that. I'll definitely would bet on.
Well,
that.
I'll never bet. I don't bet, and if I were,
I mean,
bet,
I don't
I
bet either.
Bet
but I'm just
team.
Saying, if you know, if I was to bet, I would do that. 6-2. That'll be a safe bet I would make. 6-2.
Okay.
You know, but great speaking to you, Tony. You know, great show as always. You know, I'm trying to get a couple of people on the show. You know, we got a couple of actors that are Knicks fans.
Well, I think I might be having a big-time hip-hop artist on the show on Thursday. I don't like to tease stuff like that on the show, but
well,
I think I'm going to be having a big-time hip-hop artist on Thursday night.
Big-time? How big?
Okay. Big-time New York artist. I wouldn't say... I don't know if his national level is...
Fat Joe.
No.
Well,
they've done songs together, though.
You probably don't want to reveal it anyway, but it's all good. Put it like this. What's the most records he sold?
I think he's one of those rappers that's very popular, but you'd be surprised. If
I know who it is. I already know who it is. Fabulous.
No, as Fabulous has always sold well, though, I think, right?
Yeah, Fabulous sold well. I mean,
yeah,
but you say he hasn't sold that well?
That's what I've always heard. I have all his albums. He has three solo albums out.
Three solo albums. I know exactly who you're talking about.
All right,
if
you get it, who?
Jadakiss.
You're pretty close.
I'm pretty close?
No, it's almost basically confirmed that he's going to do it, so.
Who, Jadakiss?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not 100%. It's almost. I spoke with him the other night, and he called me, and then he had his assistant. You know, he gave the hand of his assistant, so he's probably going to be on. No, I'm not teasing it yet, but he's probably going to be on Thursday. But yeah, he's actually. I don't think he's ever actually gone plat, which is weird because I think Jada's pretty popular.
Yeah, Jada. You know, Jada's hot. You know, he's a great punchline rapper and. You know, I love Jada to death, man. But, you know, it's just, you know, he can never just get over that hump. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. You're right.
You know, he can just never get over that hump. I mean, Jada is just like, honestly, like he'll tell you he's top five dead or alive, and you can't argue with that. He is top five dead or alive. But, you know, he doesn't get the recognition that he's supposed to get. You know, maybe
here's my question. I love to ask Jadakiss this, and I'm obviously going to ask his assistant before just because I don't want to – touch a nerve. What's the deal with the locks? Are they allowed to do an album again, or is that like a right with Bad Boy because Bad Boy has the rights of the name the locks?
They have the rights to the name the locks, but it's just all about, I don't think they have a deal as of yet. You get what I'm saying?
Wouldn't that be a great, like the locks, that would be a great, I mean, they only have two albums out together.
I would love to hear a Locks album. I think both of their albums are hot. Even when they was on Rough Eyes, even though it was a little bit too raw and it wasn't commercial, but I still liked it because, you know, they
I
still
actually
spit.
Think Money... See, here's what I think screwed the Locks. I think Money, Power, and Respect album is a great album. And I don't think at the time... And I don't know much about music as far as the inside stuff. I thought Money, Power, and Respect is a great album. A lot of those tracks lyrically are tough, but Puff added the... You know, the hooks with Kelly Price and this and that. I think the Locks wanted to go that tough route with the Wild Out type songs and stuff. But I think Puff probably knew what they were doing, what he was doing with the Locks, but at the same time, what do I know?
But you know, with that, see, the thing about it is, like, with that era, that's what was, you know, that what was in. You know, R&B singers singing over rap, you know, singing over hooks and stuff like that. But even when they came out, see, the things, you know, the music changed. Because remember... Everybody was, you know, talking about popping Cristal and partying and all this other stuff. But once DMX came out and they saw how DMX just took off, just,
so The Lox album came out in 97, so they wanted to, so you're saying they wanted to kind of follow DMX's route.
Yeah, because they were under the same manager. They were under Rough Riders, DNY. They managed DMX, and they also managed the Lox. You get what I'm saying? So they wanted to follow that same route. They said, "Yo, you know, if DMX, you know, sold millions of records of him being grind, why can't we?" And that was the thing. You get what I'm saying? I mean, they didn't really want to come on.
But
if you
listen to Money, Power, and Respect, it's got a couple songs that have that, like you said, the R&B hook, but they're tough lyrics, though. And I think Money, Power, and Respect is a great album.
Yeah, it is, but the image that they portrayed was almost
they
like
didn't
commercial.
Like.
Because cover the album, they was in leather shoes and shades on and everything. That wasn't really the Lox. You get what I'm saying?
Right,
I mean, that really
no,
wasn't
I know
even
what you're
mixed
saying.
Either.
You're right.
But, you know, they just do it for the money. You get what I'm saying? But, you know, it is
so
what
why
it is.
Couldn't Puff just – so then Puff should just let them just be – those four people, the three in the Lox and Puff, should have found a middle ground because those three are too talented. And Puff's – those three should have found something where they let them be the street, but maybe not too street, but also not too shiny suitors either.
Yeah, but you got to think about it, man. At that time, you mean Puff created – you know, it was that era in hip hop was just strictly all about that. And if for him to create, you know, that R&B/hip hop type of vibe, you know, with the fans, and then he just come out the Lox, it would just confuse people. You understand what I'm saying?
Because they
came up with that bad boy sound.
They could have did that music and not dressed in shiny suits, though. They could have did the Mariah Carey "Honey" remix video and just wore regular clothes.
Well, actually, they did with the Mariah Carey remix video, they wore fatigues. They wore army suits. And that. So, I mean...
Did they?
I haven't
seen that video in like 10, 12 years, probably.
Yeah, I remember that very vividly. Yeah, they wore like army suits.
When Mace is on the helicopter, right, rapping to Mariah?
Yeah. You know, it is what it is.
But when they were on tour, the No Way Out tour, they were wearing shiny suits and stuff, so they probably were like, this isn't us. We're more, you know, jeans and Tims or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they had to do it. I mean, they, you know, like I was telling you, the eras in hip-hop changed. You know, remember when Nori came out, Cameron, and DMX all came out at the same time, and that was like the buzz in the streets.
1998, yep.
Back in, well, was that 90 or 99? Matter of fact, 90, some of the
98. DMX came out, DMX came out May of 98. Cameron and Noriega were both July of 98. Confessions of Fire.
I remember
and,
that because, you know, Confessions of Fire and, what was it? Because I remember I
and
met
O-R-E,
Cameron.
The Noriega
I went,
O-R-E.
I went to the Inch store on, oh, man, what was the Inch store with Cameron? Ah, man, it was downtown on A Street on the east side. It was one of those old music record stores. But anyway, I had an autographed poster of Cameron Confessions of Fire. I remember that, and I bought his album. But, you know, that era of hip-hop changed. So it was just like, you know, if these dudes can do it, why can't I? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, peace to the Lox.
But what do you say guys like Cameron... Where they were kind of like in the middle, like Cameron and Nori, they wasn't shiny suit type dudes, but they if you listen to Noriega's first album and Cam's first album, they had a lot of R&B hooks on there too. Cameron had
yeah,
Usher
but they
on
were still
right. He had
yeah,
a lot.
Oh,
of hooks on there,
remember that? Remember
yeah.
that? Oh man, I remember that. Oh man.
He had Kelly Price. Cameron had Kelly Price on his first. He had a lot of, but then he had those tough songs like 357. He had the first track,
yeah,
Glory.
Hit,
Glory
hit,
is great.
His hits, yeah, Glory, oh yeah, Glory was hot. But I think that like, his hottest songs were like really like street anthem songs. You get what I'm saying? You know, Glory was hot. What other song on there was
on Confessions of Fire?
Yeah, on Confessions of Fire. I'm thinking about SDE, like Let Me Know and all everything else. What was a song he did with Mace that was like a real big hit?
Oh, Horse and Carriage.
Oh, Horse and Carriage. I mean, I could just think back those days, man.
But then he had like, okay, I'm looking at the track list right now. Rockin' and Rollin', that wasn't exactly street. Feels Good, Me, My Mom's, and Jimmy. Horse and Carriage, Glory was tough, Death was tough. Who's Nice, Me and My Boo. That was like, Me and My Boo is a hot song, actually, with Charlie Baltimore.
Yeah, Me and My Boo.
D Ruggs. Drugs.
Oh,
that's
D Ruggs.
Hot,
oh, D-Ruggs. See, D Ruggs is a really hot song. I felt D Ruggs.
Absolutely.
D Ruggs is a good
song.
Those
are Prophecy.
Oh, yeah, that was good. What was the one where you talking about? He was Confessions. Oh, Confessions is good.
Yep.
Confessions is good. You know, see, with Cam'ron's album, it was a mixture of R&B and a mixture of street. You get what I'm saying? You know, I just think it was a well-balanced, put-together album.
Well, so if someone asks you, okay, if we're in the year 2020, and so it says, T, describe me the era of music, hip-hop, R&B, in the year 2010, 2011. What would you call, how would you explain this era in music?
It's more pop right now. You know what I'm saying? You got the guys like Kid Cudi. You know, you have guys like B.O.B. and Drake. I mean, they really changed in, you know, the face of hip-hop. And it's almost like pop rap, you know, but it's almost borderline. I mean, even like with Kanye, it's almost like it's inspirational. You know, it's, you know, before, you know, these guys, let's say like 10, 15 years ago, these guys, you know, they wouldn't do anything because they'll be known as the backpack type of rappers. You know, that's more like conscious, and nobody wants to hear that. But I think that, you know, with Kanye and Cudi, well, mainly Kanye, they kind of like open up the doors for guys like Cudi and, you know, B.O.B. and Drake to make conscious type of rapping, you know,
and
more
popular. And I feel
popular.
Like if you're a 16, 17-year-old kid, unless you have an older brother, sister, or cousin, I don't think you really feel the stuff that we grew up on.
Oh, no, you definitely, I mean, of course not. They definitely wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't feel the stuff that, you know, that we grew up on. I mean, nobody, you know, if I was to play or the reasonable doubt to a 17-year-old, they would, you know, get that out of my face. You know, they wouldn't understand, you know, the lyrics and everything that's going on at that time. You know what I'm saying? But especially during the drug era. You know, in the 80s and early 90s, it was like a big-time drug era, especially in New York. You know, that was the crack.
And I think that's why, like a group like Mobb Deep or whatever, I could never really picture them making like a big like comeback, because like a lot of their fans are probably a lot older now and they might not want to be down with that. You know what I mean? Like, so a lot. Yeah, it was a great era. That's, you know, I feel like it's tough. Like I love Raekwon, guys like that, but I feel like it's tough when they come out with new stuff because they try to recreate their old stuff and you just can't.
Yeah, it definitely is, because Raekwon came out with an album on, was it March 9th, the day that Biggie died, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't even, you know what's crazy? I didn't even know about that. It got, like, no promotion.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, nobody was really tracking for it.
I got the album only built for Cubulence Part 2. I got that.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's the thing. Everybody, like, only built for Cubulence Part 2, but nobody didn't know about this album that came out March 9th.
You know, it's crazy because,
so, you know,
real quick, before I let you mentioned that promotion, before I let you go, I had the first four Ghostface albums, obviously. Iron Man, what was the second one? Supreme Clientele, the Pretty Tony album,
and
Bulletproof Wild.
Oh, Bulletproof.
Those
okay,
are the first four. What's that?
Oh, you didn't get the Doe Rehab.
Okay, those are the first four, though. Those are the first four Ghost albums.
Oh, the first four,
then he's
okay.
Had, like, five or six after that, and it's like you really don't even hear about most of them because there's just no promotion.
Yeah, but what a lot of things with these other guys, you know, and with these record companies, you know, they just get them while they're young, and then when they get old, they just push them to the side. That's why you got to give respect to guys like LL Cool J, you know what I'm saying, that's been in the game for 15, 20 years. Even Fat Joe to a certain extent. You get what I'm saying? People don't like Fat Joe, but Fat Joe been in the game for when Daz FX. Remember Daz FX?
Of course,
Fat Joe
yeah.
Been in the game since Daz FX, and he's still coming on strong. I mean, Fat Joe is sort of kind of relevant still.
You have Generation FX. That's a good album.
Yeah, definitely. Even Onyx. He came on when I remember Onyx.
Yeah, Shut Him Down. I love the album Shut Him Down.
Oh, man, Last Days. I mean, you could just go back and forth with these guys. I mean, you know, Onyx has definitely got to be one of the top 10 rap groups of all time. You definitely got to put them
up
there
the Onyx album, Shut Them Down. You know about the hidden track, right?
The hidden track?
I think it's the, I think it's called Last Days. There's a hidden track.
Oh,
on the
okay. You're talking about Last Days, the hidden track. That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, but it's funny on my iTunes though, because now you know I have all my CDs. I have about 300-400 CDs, but they're all on my computer now. If you go to the worst, it's actually a 10-minute song, and you have to, if you want to get to the last stage, you have to fast forward to like you know 7 minutes.
Oh, really?
Interesting, not okay. Fact for you there, G. Well, anyway, man, I'll let you go. It was fun talking some music with you, man. I think one thing about this show is a lot of fans, you know, are into these conversations too, and it's fun to get away from hoops for like 15 minutes to talk about.
Yeah,
talk
definitely,
about
definitely. Yeah, for the listeners out there, like I was saying, yo, check out How to Make in America. You know, it's on HBO On Demand. You know, it's a new, they had season one last year, Kid Cudi, Brian Greenberg, you know, a couple of other people on there. You know, just check it out. Season two we're shooting right now, you know, and peace to everybody out there. Hopefully I can get some actors on the show. You know, we make it happen.
All right, Steve, thanks for checking in, man. I just got word from a Twitter follower that Jada actually has gone platinum before, so whatever. I think Fat Joe, maybe he's there. Whatever. Anything. 646-478-5554. We got time for a few more calls on the show before we wrap this up. Let's go to Dave in Queens. Dave, you're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Tony, what's going on, man?
What's up, Dave?
Yo, man, what is going on with these callers that are talking finals and we could beat the Bulls and all this stuff? I mean, I want to be excited, don't get me wrong, you know, but do you know how close we were to losing 7 in a row? We were really
very
lucky.
Very close. Very close.
And it's a shame because, you know, the Knicks, they played hard. You know, Melo, he played with a lot. The thing that was really encouraging about it was the confidence he played with, because he played with a lot of confidence. But that being said, the refs, I've never seen such a bad call against a superstar as that offensive rebound on Dwight Howard. And I knew he was going to flip out because that was actually one of the worst calls I've seen in a long time. That was horrible. You going to follow
him
out?
That was a bad call.
You know, so, I mean, and that was huge. And then, you know, Melo got away with that push on Jason Richardson. That was another big play because Hedo hit a three that would have tied the game, I think. At the other end, right when they were calling it.
Yeah, that was a bizarre sequence. I'm sitting there watching the game like, what the – did Melo just trip Jay Rich? Did Jay
yeah.
Rich just trip Melo? What the hell is going on here?
I mean, what it was I think, okay, the tie-up was on the floor, and then when Jay Rich was going to get up, he kind of, like, pushed Melo a little bit to get – but it was really him getting up. He was kind of, like, just trying to – his arm – so Melo – but straight down back to the ground, and then Jay Rich grabbed the foot, and that one is not like, okay, I could kind of get that one. That's kind of like the Knicks just got a break, you know, and during any game, you know, there's going to be plays like that where the ref sees one thing and he doesn't see what happened before. So, I mean, Reggie Miller used to do that to us like all the time, you know.
Yeah,
Reggie would do something to us, and then all the ref would see is like him, you know, getting thrown out of bounds or something like that. But they didn't see what he did before that, you know what I mean? So that's not so bad. But the other stuff, I mean, I was watching the game, and it was just, I mean, Jared Jeffrey's not putting his hand up, you know. So, I mean, I was happy. I was
happy.
Yeah,
and that's
that
the reason
won.
Why Jared was brought here. So if he's not going to play defense,
yeah,
he might
I mean,
be on
I mean,
the bench.
He's supposed to be smarter than that. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for people to start talking about, you know, the playoffs and the team turning a corner – I'm going to say, you know, I'm happy they won. If they don't win, to me, these next three games are really going to tell, you know, where they are as a team. Because if we got the Raptors, the Nets, and I think the Cavs, is that the next three? And
they could, they, you know, T's right, they could go. If the Knicks were to go 6-2 going to the playoffs, I'm not saying they're going to, but
right.
If they were to, boy, there would be a huge buzz going to the playoffs.
I think, you know, I absolutely think that it's possible. I think 5-3 is probably a little, because I don't think they're beating Philly at Philly, you know, unless they really turn it on in the next three games. And that's the thing. You know, if you're looking at it like, you know, like you know how seasons are broken up into little tiny seasons within the season?
Yeah,
you know, the Knicks went 3-8 to start, and then they got hot. then there was all the stuff about the trade, and then after the trade, there were, like, you know, two periods. One was good, one was bad. So now it's kind of like, to me, it's this home stretch where it's another season within a season. And this three games that they got against the, these next three teams, to me, it's like, okay, here goes your chance to really get everything right before you really get down to the stretch. So if they can work it out where this is kind of like their preseason right here, these three games is kind of like training camp. I mean, they're serious games and everything like that, but you can work out some kinks against the Raptors. You can work out some kinks against, you know, New Jersey. They just got blown out by, like, what, 35 today? You know what I mean? Like, every time New
Jersey...
But here's the thing, though. You can't...
And listen, great call, man. I appreciate checking in, but you just can't... You can't take those games for granted, though, and I agree.
No, absolutely not.
They could definitely go 5-3, 6-2 to win the season, and that would be great. That'd be great for the fans. That'd be great for the teams to boost their morale going to the playoffs. But you can't. But here's the thing: if you're being confident, the Knicks have yet to prove to beat these bad teams since the trade. And like I said, that's not Melo's fault. It's, since the trade, the Knicks have yet to prove they can beat these bad teams. So. It's funny how everybody's so confident. Some people are confident they're going to go 6-2, 5-3 over the next eight when they have yet to prove they can beat these teams.
I think that's kind of like what I'm saying. I think I'll be more impressed, or not more impressed. I'll be more convinced that they've righted the ship if they go 3-0 for the next three games, because they should. A team with Melo, Billups, and Stat, you know, should go 3-0 against Cleveland, you know, and Toronto and New Jersey. You know, beating Orlando on a night where the refs gave you some calls and Jameer Nelson wasn't playing. That, to me, you know, that, okay, fine, whatever, that happened. But the games that they should be winning, to me, that's really what I want to see out of them. You know, so anyway, take it easy, Tone.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. I really appreciate you checking in, man. Definitely appreciate it. 646-478-5554 is the number of the KnicksBlog.com. The KnicksBlog, we've got time for one last call on the show, and he's a legend, to say the least. Well, kind of. Let's go to Duran down in South Carolina. Duran, you're on the air at TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
What's going on, Anthony? I'm back.
What's up, Duran?
What's
up, man?
I ain't talked to you in a minute.
I know, man.
What's
how you
good?
Been? Chilling.
I've been all right, man. That was a good win last night. That was a good win.
Point,
you know,
man,
I'm hoping that's a confidence win. You know, we can build some confidence off it. You know, like I say, man, we gave up a lot in that trade, man. So right now we're not deep. We're not deep like we was. I mean, if Melo not going to give us the points and if Stoudemire not going to give us the points, we ain't going to go too far anyway. So we're going to have to build off it. We're going to have to build around those guys in the summer. And hopefully we can get some guys that are signed with us, you know, for a little nothing to try to win us a ring, man. Because this year, you know, we might as well just kind of like
I mean, obviously they're not winning a ring this year, but I'm saying don't might as well. Anthony, it's because you're making the playoffs for the first time basically in 10 years, so enjoy
the
it.
Thing.
You know, throw the,
right,
roll the balls out there, pull up the shorts, and have some fun.
Yeah, and enjoy it. But now I'm gonna tell you something. Now that I like Chauncey Billups, I'm not taking nothing from him. But the biggest loss in that whole trade, man, was Raymond Felton. And I know Wilson Chandler was a good player.
Nobody wanted. Listen, nobody wanted to give up Raymond Felton. Nobody did.
Because Felton, man, you notice when he was getting that ball, he was pushing that ball up their court.
And he's
quick. You know, so that was the killer. If we could have kept Felton, right now I would give him back Chauncey Billups and Felton.
Well, it wasn't
working
like that, though. That's the thing.
You know, so that was a loss right there, man. If we could have kept Felton, we wouldn't have lost five straight. And you notice, if you notice something, Sean Williams' game has went down since Felton left. Felton, because Felton spreads that ball around, man. He gets the ball in the right spots where everybody need him at. Now you notice Sean Williams, his game has went down since Felton left.
A lot of guys are still trying to, like, get acclimated. It's been a rough process since the trade. No doubt about it.
And you notice Stoudemire's game has actually even went down a little bit since Felton left. I mean, because Felton had that him and Felton had that pick and roll down pack. I mean, when Felton was there, you know what I'm saying, that pick and roll was dynamite. But now it's not there anymore. See? Chauncey can't do what Felton can do.
Yeah, but Chauncey,
you know,
listen, Listen, I know what you're saying, but also going into the playoffs, I had no problem at all with Chauncey Billups running my team. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. I mean, you know, like I say, I mean, I have no problem with getting rid of giving up Wilson Chandler in that trade because, I mean, I don't think we would have been able to sign him anywhere in the summer. You know,
exactly.
So because he's going to demand at least $8 million a year, at least that. And
yeah, no,
they
probably weren't bringing back Wilson anyway.
Yeah, we probably wasn't because he's going to get at least, you know, he's going to get at least $8 million a year. But now we could have easily, you know, maybe got him on a signing trade deal and bring in somebody else. You know, so that's what the killer going to be. We could have at least got him on a signing trade deal.
Well, guess what, Duran? It's over now.
Yeah, it's over now. Let me ask you another question here. Okay.
Sure.
If you had a choice now, all right, not me, all right, would you go after a point guard within the next 2 years, okay? Chris Paul or Dan Williams, all right,
okay.
When their contract is up next summer, or would you take a shot at Dwight Howard? And just
I mean, you always take a shot.
Which one you think we need
them.
The most?
I mean, the Knicks took a shot at Kobe Bryant in 2004. They had no chance. That's just more a better call for next year, Duran. That's a better call for next year.
We need a big man bad, man. I mean, I didn't understand why we got rid of Mozgov. I didn't understand that, you know. But I guess, you know, that's not what Trey
Denver wanted him. Because Denver wanted him, the Knicks gave Denver whatever they wanted. That's why.
Well, they wanted him because they wanted to punish us. Because they're not even using Mozgov.
Right.
They're not even using him. You know what I'm saying? He's riding the bench. He's riding the bench right now because they got Nene. So they don't need him.
Yep, no, you're right. Well, anyway, Duran, I appreciate you checking in, man. Call back to the next show.
Okay, then.
All right, Duran, thanks for checking in, man. Always appreciate it. I want to say great job to all the callers tonight. You guys did a great job, wonderful job. Great job to everybody that's helped me on the show, from Johnny to Benji, Selena, Chris, Pete, Tommy D for the Knicks blog. Thank you to everybody. Like I said, thanks to Mike Breen. I'll be back on the air Thursday night at 9 p.m., theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks blog radio. As always, hit me on Facebook, Facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. Follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. I'll be back at the Garden tomorrow night for the Knicks Nets. Hopefully, we'll get a win. Remember on Twitter, #WinForJohn. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks blog radio. Good night.
Homies who be rolling with me.
Play no game.
Play no game. Cause ain't nobody playing with me.
I got love.
I got love for
my family tree.
I got love. Love from the ghetto. Down for whatever.
You down before.
And you still gonna be down
game.
With me. I got game. Cause the game was given to me.
Say my name.
Say my name. Cause ain't nobody tighter than me.
Give it up.
Get it up if you like the way I'm rocking this beat.